City Community Dialogue, Friday, February 14th. Agenda, continuation of communication.
Maybe we're reaching that point in our life of the dialogue where we are having a higher rate of dropout. The last meeting started kind of slow but picked up, and many came, but today I see that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, several empty seats at the table. But we're going to start anyway. Would you take a look at your minutes? It'll take 2 minutes out or so to look at the minutes and get right on with the agenda. Maybe we could move on then with the agenda. There's coffee over here. If anyone wants to stop at this moment and get coffee.
Yeah, we met the time we and
there are several individuals who were here the last time as invited people, and we had a table full when we began, so today we don't. We'd like to invite some of the guests to the table. I thought two or three news people here. I do. The table there, please. Neil, would you come on up and be our guest?
CFMB well represented back there.
Where?
Just that wall.
Oh, yeah, I see now. CFMB against the wall back there. Just come over. Did I get most? Oh, Ray, over there against the wall, would you please?
I prefer to keep my back to the wall.
We would like to have your face up this way. It's all right, Ray. You don't want to sit up until he's...
How you live the chairs for the distinguished gentlemen?
Like yourselves and... One of you,
Well, did you ever manage to come up with a pencil? Be careful, I want to tell you about that trench mouth problem. Thank you.
Before we begin, then, can we kind of review a couple of items here that I think are important? We have at the table the replacement for the man whom we recognized last time who was leaving the city. We have the newly appointed city attorney. Or is it only actually Bob? Ed Butler? Who's taking Ed Butler's place? I'm not going to introduce him other than say, would you tell us who you are so everyone will hear you say it, and whether or not you'll be with us or your feelings about us. That kind of thing, Bob, and then I'll tell you what to say later.
Well, my name is Robert Tease, and I'm the acting city attorney at the present time. They haven't made any final appointment.
I hope to know one way or another. Of course, if I am appointed the city attorney, I will be participating in these discussions with you. And I don't know whether I will be as involved as Ed Butler was, but I certainly will try. Today I'll try to get myself acquainted with the procedure and just listen. I don't think I'm prepared to participate as I know that all of the people here do on occasions, and that there's quite a give and take. I think that from what I have gathered, both from Ed Butler, who preceded me, and from the newspaper accounts, this is a very well worthwhile procedure, and it certainly is a sounding board for all different expressions, which has probably been extremely helpful in keeping San Diego moving, shall we say, Julian?
In motion.
As the city in motion.
Somebody said circular the last time. Forgot who it was.
In any case, I hope to see, both from the standpoint that it represents the fact that I have been appointed the city attorney, and also from the standpoint of simply participating in this, I hope to see a lot more of you.
Thank you, Bob.
Neil Morgan called the city commotion.
City commotion?
Yeah.
The city commotion? The
city commotion.
Or city more in motion. We have at the table also others who were invited. Some are sitting at the table from the news media. We pulled again this morning. Let's take time out and again introduce ourselves in terms of who we are from the news media. And we can hope today get you more involved. As you know, last time we had a specific item which took precedence over some of the other items listed. So let's begin by finding out who you are at the table and where you're from.
Okay. I'm Dave Newton. I'm manager of local sales for KFMB Radio.
Oh, I'm Lieutenant Don Davis, San Diego Police Department.
Lowell Blindford, co-publisher of the Chula Vista Star News, and also of the Imperial Beach newspaper, having noticed you have an item on the agenda about Mar Vista. So we have that also.
My name is Neil. I'm the Urban Coalition Communications Task Force. I'm Brad Warner, program director for KEBS Channel 15 with Rosemary Kansas.
If you haven't got a set. Walking in the door in the yellow shirt and brown suit. Would you go on at the table?
Scotty
Walsh here. Bud Rennett, Southeast Adult School.
James Oxley, Buckley Church.
I'm Julian Watt.
In the air.
Don Logan, Logan Heights New York.
There are some others from the news media who are not at the table. Would you just tell us who you are and what station media you represent, please?
Ray Wilson, Channel 8. Dick turns on the AM FM
TV. You know, all these resident flavors. Would you pick up over here and John, you're from media also.
Oh, my left hand.
Okay. Did I miss anyone? Today we are to pick up where we left off last night, and you have an agenda in front of you.
Oh.
And it comes in from the man who was recorded there.
Carol, I wonder if before you start, I could make a couple of announcements
that are germane to this.
Well, they're germane to the police department.
I will. We'll start this thing, Doug. Go ahead.
I'd just like to announce, as maybe most of you have already become aware, we started our second storefront operation at 1808 Logan yesterday in the Mexican-American community, and it's located in the Community Action Council there. I'd like to also indicate that everyone is invited to our open house for the public, which is beginning this weekend. Come on down and see us, see our, some of our displays and some of the problems we have. This is from 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. And I'd also like to introduce at this time one of our new community relations assistants, Officer Phil Jarvis.
Phil?
He will be working with our section in the community as the rest of us have.
But Phil, one of the ones appointed as a result of the special,
Yes. Phil and Jewel Robinson, most of you know Jewel Robinson, were promoted under the Community Relations Assistant to the Chief. And that he is filling the new position.
Both. Phil, did you want to say anything? Say hello or goodbye?
I warned him to be careful.
I think I'm going to run away and get a little more involved in my
new
life around and know what's going on.
All right, we're glad to have you sit with us. Our first agenda item is a report from the Ad Hoc Committee regarding the Mexican American Federation presentation at previous dialogues. We appointed a committee, as you recall last time, that went beyond just the one ad. That was the topic of the discussion last time. We will hear from that committee at this time. Good and wise, you're going to make the report for...
All right, Tom has the Hong Kong whatever, and he asked me to read the report of the committee.
That's Tom McJunkin?
Right. Correct. The committee met on February 11, and all members being present with the exception of George Scott, who was represented by Wayne Neal. It was reported by the chairman that he had contacted Peter Chacon, chairman of the Mexican American Federation, and the position of that group was that they would prefer to work alone in initiating any actions that are taken, but that they would call upon others for help at the implementation stage. Warner Renas, who had represented this committee at the meeting on February 10, repeated this same indication by the Federation. After a discussion of the advertising in the past and present day practices, minority group image stereotype generally presented, the following recommendations were approved to be submitted to this dialogue today. One, that the position and actions taken by the Mexican American Federation be supported. Two, that the CIC provide staff assistance to document current advertising practices by collecting sample ads for a period of time, 6 months was suggested, showing a lack of and a need for sensitivity. Three, that CIC request the technical assistance of Phillips Ramsey in setting up a workshop-type seminar where the images that are being portrayed by the advertising agencies may be shown, and that this program be shown to local agencies using the material discovered in recommendation number two, which is the documenting of sample advertising. And lastly, number four, that CIC request that time be allowed in the program of the National Convention of the American Association of Advertising Agencies or the Public Relations Society of America for the program developed in Recommendation 3 to be presented at their national convention. In other words, a seminar type presentation to 4A or PRSA or both. These recommendations were agreed to unanimously by the committee, and they're submitted today, signed by the chairman, Tom McJunkin.
May I ask if you read the specific ones again? How many copies do you have there?
Well, I have
four or five.
I don't know, four or five.
Send me one more, please. Would you read those number one, two, three, and four again, please?
Okay. Summarize. First, that the position and actions taken by the Mexican-American Federation be supported by this group. That's recommendation one. Two, that this group asks CIC to assist in documenting advertising practices by sampling advertising over a period of 6 months. Now, it could be 6 months previous to this time by going to the library and leafing through national publications. It doesn't recommend necessarily that we wait 6 months hence. It just says take a 6 month sample of some of these ads, which will illustrate the need for the sensitivity that we've been discussing here. That's two. Third, that we request CIC to go to Phillips Ramsey and ask for that agency's technical assistance in preparing the presentation and establishing workshop programs to discuss the presentation. And fourthly, that CIC also asks Phillips Ramsey to assist in making this presentation, this program, available as a seminar session to the National Conventions of American Association of Advertising Agencies and Public Relations Society of America.
Discussion in terms of that report being either accepted or rejected, of course, this is a report to the committee, right?
It's a report to this dialogue from the committee.
Right. Sure. Yes.
I move for an acceptance of this report.
Been moved and seconded. Is this report be accepted as presented? Question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposes? The implementation may be more difficult.
We thought you'd enjoy that.
The president of CIC is here. Do you think that we can get enough funds to appropriate a staff person yesterday to begin such assistance?
Without any questions,
no problem. Jose, I suspect you have a little time. Any discussions? Of course, the report has been accepted. Any discussion on any item or anything related to thereto? Art?
The only question I had was I'm always reluctant to endorse any group's actions before they act and before we know what the proposals are. This is kind of a blank check approval of this group's actions, the Federation's actions.
Carol,
I trust these people, so I
don't. I think we have to be careful about terminology. The word that's used here is supported, not endorsed.
Okay.
And that would mean that this group would have a further opportunity, we would hope, to discuss the actions and discuss how this group would support the actions.
Fine.
Not endorsed.
Fine.
Arthur, does that satisfy your concern? Any other concerns or questions about the qualitative content now of the report? All right. Someone else has come in the room after we got started from the news media. I should like to have him introduce himself. General, would you introduce yourself and tell us who you are, please?
I'm General Victor Kulak, Vice President of the Conference Corporation.
Thank you. Would you want to join us, please, at the table here?
Oh, I'm fine. They serve the same food at all places.
Yeah. Think we can see you back there?
Actually, they don't serve the food at all places, but I
noticed
Carol eating breakfast up there.
Now, why do you have to do that, Art? Let's move on then to the agenda. Communication, news media. A is fair and impartial news coverage of minority community. Some community issues as examples: minority community attention situations, that is, false arrest, search and seizure, police brutality, Mar Vista Heights, that should be high school, of course, incident, riot, Imperial Beach, etc. Let's move on exactly as the agenda is set up. that we can cover some of those specific items. It is now open for discussion. And 2A and B. Maybe I should lay down a framework then so we can get some reactions if they are here. One of the complaints of the minority community, both black and brown, for a long time has been that of specific complaints. And last time we almost got into a verbal cocoon by not spelling out maybe what we were really talking about. As I gather them, and as stipulated the last time, it is not that, rather it is that the quality, that is the kind of coverage, tends to give the wrong image, perpetuates myths and stereotypes. Secondly, that the quantity, that is the frequency of the coverage of minority conditions and so forth, the frequency itself is not as great as it should be. And if we look at it that way, maybe then we can narrow it down to where we begin to communicate here, one to the other. Yes?
I'd like to ask something in the news media, how they determine what is hard news as relates to the minority community.
We have time, Dave, would you come on up to the table here and, Peter, would you come on up and, from town?
Carol, is there anyone here from COGO? I see a lot of KFMB and KEBS and the press.
Anybody here from COGO? Yes.
I guess not, anyway. If you want to come up for me, I won't have it.
Hi.
The question is, how does the news media, how do news media, determine what is hard news with regard to the minority community?
In other words, in the course of any day, there are undoubtedly half a dozen different things that could be covered. How do you determine which of these things is relevant? I sat here last 2 weeks ago.
Well, all of this, let's get some replies.
I don't think you can generalize. I think each media has to handle it differently. We're a suburban newspaper that serves a primarily Anglo-Saxon white community. We're virtually a white ghetto in the South Bay area. And except for the Mexican-American. There is a Mexican-American community in the southern part of our area. Well, news is conflict, and news is also achievement. Positive programs in the schools and this sort of thing. But our type of media is very different. We're twice a week newspapers. We're very different than immediacy is not as important to us as it is to daily newspapers and as it is to TV and radio stations.
I think you touched on. Go ahead.
I think we also consider part of our function as educative, since we have a lot of people in our community who feel they have no problem. They have a problem, but they don't know it. We feel that a part of our aim is to educate people when we have a local angle. Our material has to be localized toward our community, not to the city of San Diego, but to our particular area. And we try not to waste any opportunities to do this.
Can you narrow it down any further in terms of how you determine, or is that satisfying?
Well, the thing that brought the impression to mind was a statement that was made by a television newscaster 2 weeks ago. Somebody asked why the fact that an Afro-American studies course had been started peacefully in one of the local schools was not considered newsworthy by the station, even though it brought their attention repeatedly. And they said they put it in the future files, and it was just part of all the things were going to happen that day. And as a fat most hated of all creatures, a press agent, I would like to know why a thing like the peaceful institution of an Afro-American studies program in this day and age is not considered high news.
All right, let's get some other reactions there. I saw General's hand up, though. General Kulak?
I think I'd like to address the basic question rather than the specific, which didn't affect newspapers. The term hard is in itself a subject to definition. What is hard news, which is to say news that by any reasonable criterion should be printed or should be made public in the television, is a subject of judgment. No two people will agree on all elements of hard news today. If we landed on the moon today or they stopped the Vietnam War, we'd have unanimity. Everyone would agree. But we're not talking about landing on the moon, nor are we talking about ending the Vietnam War. We're talking about matters far more sensitive and far more debatable. It's a matter of sound judgment and decency where we are concerned in these matters in which we are interested. I do not believe that you can establish a criterion that says this is hard news because it relates to a black studies program, or this is not hard news. This is a matter of judgment, and your satisfaction with the way one television station treats it may be just the same factors that cause dissatisfaction on the man sitting next to you. I believe you're operating in a judgment area, and the judgment must be governed by basic principles of decency and nothing more.
I'd like to point out an example today. The Sporting Los Angeles Times had as its lead story, the top story that they considered nationwide, a meeting in San Diego of the State Board of Education yesterday, in which the State Board set criteria for what is a racially imbalanced school district. They considered that the most important story in the nation, apparently, from their standpoint. The San Diego papers, the San Diego Union at least, this morning, put that story at a one-column headline in the second section, even though the events took place in San Diego. It's a matter of judgment as to what's important, as General Kulak said.
But I just wondered if, back to what General Kulak said, the article, in fact, I was the one that mentioned this last week, that the newspaper, I called about three people in your newspaper and asked them to cover the Afro-American studies. That's how people don't do it. I got a very polite response, but nothing so it did include the newspaper and not just the television media.
Over here. Let me see if I can give you kind of a practical answer on this. Your question did involve hard news now.
Yes, indeed.
Also, I think you're sort of taking an unnecessarily defensive attitude as far as being a press agent. I personally welcome calls from press agents. I like press agents. Some of my best friends are press agents.
They all look alike.
I love the press agents if they say. No, seriously. News is a very competitive thing. And I think the story that might be very good one day is not very good the next. I'll give you a couple little clues here. Since I no longer work for the paper, I guess I can say this. Monday is a wonderful day to get a story in the paper because not much happens on Sunday. Sunday is a pretty good day, and everybody tries to get in the Sunday paper because it's real big, but in a sense they work against each other. But if you've got something you want to get in, put it for a Monday release. Tuesday is another pretty good day, because not much happens on Monday. Wednesday is an awful day, because you've got the city council, the board of supervisors, the school board, and a lot of small city councils. So if you are a press agent, and if you do have something to sell,
try to figure it out in advance a little bit. I think the particular story that you mentioned last week might have just been running in bad luck. It's a pretty good story. Not only, though, is it competitive as far as what day and what the other news is, it's who you sell it to. Now, some people on the paper or on a television station or a radio station are just going to be more sympathetic than others. It's just the way it is. Now, it's up to you if you've got something to sell to find out who those people are. I know if you say it shouldn't be, and then we should get equal and fair treatment, but people are people.
But let me interject something. The people that listened to me were sympathetic, but they said they'd have to check with the editor, and that's where it stopped, right there.
That sounds a little bit like a cop-out, frankly.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it was on
but these are just general things. I'll give you one example. Years ago, I went over to Arizona. I was on an extradition thing, and I was working for the paper then, and I got talking to the district attorney of this small county, Mojave County, which is where Kingman is. And he had a wonderful story about, some of you may remember when they raided those Mormons that lived way up in northeastern Arizona in a place called Short Creek. They were practicing polygamy some, 10 years ago or so. And it was a heck of a story. And they planned this raid for months and months, and the district attorney and the attorney general of Arizona, and they had all the media alerted. And they were going to move in, and they could see, as Lowell mentioned, the banner headlines on every paper in the country about the raid. And they moved in, and they did everything, and they had all the media. It only happened that was the day that the Korean War ended. So bang, it went back in the water. So all your best planning, you still may not make it.
Are the Mormons still up there?
I want to get back, though, so that we keep zeroed in on. Talk about fair and impartial news coverage. So if we keep talking to that point, we'll eventually get back down. You are
the second to the last part of the country is here. How totally aware you do you insist that your reporters and or how totally aware are your reporters and do they read the paper indeed? Do they pick up the latest books about what's going on? Or is this the judgment of a fellow that's the assignment editor because he used to be with the Herald Examiner in Los Angeles and doesn't really, keep up with what's happening today? Is there an in-service training course in total awareness for the people who decide what is news?
Well, in my case, my reporters are intelligent, brilliant, and paragons of virtue, since I'm the only reporter. But I'll let somebody who's got good examples.
Well, I think this is a great place to deal with many of the problems that community people face in what they consider to be newsworthy and what the average reporter and even a very, very experienced editor will not think to be newsworthy simply because it doesn't fit into your frame of reference. Now, what are we doing about this media, so far as media itself is concerned?
I'd like to come back on that. I think that when you talk about basically what a news judgment is based on, and Ray, you can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, the limitations of space and time, depending on what the medium is, and the flow of immediate news, and maybe this is kind of a screen through which the news editor sees what he's going to put in the paper or put on the air. What will affect or reach most of the readers or viewers or listeners today, what they're interested in knowing about today. And as far as the individuals in news departments and newspaper staff and so forth, I think there's an assumption on the part of station management and editorial boards and publishers that these people are, after all, news gathering people, so they certainly should be aware of what's going on. They're in the middle of it anyway. You know, as to whether the reality of that situation is carried through or not, that may be open to question. Okay. John?
I think that the argument for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of space, or General Kulak's comment about being governed by the basic principles of decency, may throw us off the issue. I think as an example, we can look at the coverage of the dialogue last time. And in the Union,
there was a story, I think it was 2 paragraphs long, about the free state, about the Mexican-American complaint. Next to the story, probably 4 times the length on the same page, was a story about South Koreans selling wigs in this country, in the local news section. And if there's a news judgment involved in that, and it represents one of our principles of decency, or it represents the pressure of time or space, then I'm completely out of it. I hate to pick an isolated example like that, and I hate to pick on, well, I don't hate to pick on the union, but I think that's a good example. And I think that by copping out, certainly the pressure's on us, we don't have the time, we don't have the space. You can go to Channel 8 and look at the time they spend on show business news and the time they spend on a thing called History Q. If they devoted that time to the coverage of the local minority situation, people would be a lot happier with local news coverage, in my opinion.
Don?
I just have one question I want to ask the news media. Do they really believe that they have fair and impartial news coverage in the minority community?
Right. Everybody hear the question?
No.
And it's so warm. You look at that a lot of things, Don.
I just wanted to ask the news media, do they really believe that they have fair and impartial coverage there in regards there to the minority community? And if so, why?
Now, I presume you want us to each answer for our own organization and not comment on somebody else.
That's the only way you can.
Yeah. I'll give you a simple answer. Yes, and all you have to do is look at our station. I'll stand on our record.
Others?
I would say yes for ourselves. It's a question of decency. It's a question of decency to who? I mean, you
deny that now.
Yeah.
You deny that. So I don't want to, I'm with John. I don't want to get it thrown off.
Yeah.
Others?
No, I'd like to add, you know, I don't propose to be so succinct or so complacent with you things. I can only say that we try. I can't say that we succeed. I can only say that we're obliged to try and to continue to try and to continue to improve. I have no idea that we have achieved any ultimate. This is a complex matter, and it changes every day. I'm not content, and I hope nobody else is. Take him for his word and address ourselves to the question of how we could improve the attitude of the people who work on the Union and Tribune and how we could affect their judgment as to what basic principles of decency are.
As relates to fair and impartial coverage?
Yeah. Let's take what he has said as truth and say if they really want to improve and try what this group could do or somebody else could do to affect their judgment on what is fair and impartial coverage.
That's a good question.
All right.
That's a good question. I think it needs to be answered. And not just for the Union Tribune. I don't know who you are, but
I'm John Wood. And I work for the university, and I don't not bring up the Union Tribune either, I would agree.
Well, Mr. Wood, I think it's an excellent question. I'd like to give you the best answer I can. We're members of a rather amorphous entity here, and yet we each have a responsibility to it. I feel that responsibility, and if anybody doesn't know what my telephone number is, I'll tell them right now. And if you're dissatisfied with that element of the public news media with which I'm involved in any way, I'd be glad to hear about it. Now, that's not your only chance. Each newspaper has a publisher, isn't it? If you don't like to call me, call it. And I'm not afraid to undertake a complex problem either. And it's not to say that I would either agree or disagree with you. And if you don't want to call me, call the editor. And if you don't get satisfaction from the editor, call me, and vice versa. This is my approach to it. The word is dialogue. That's what we're doing here. And that's what we should continue to do, because I believe there is the root of the problem.
So we have the question then, what can we do here to assist the papers, period, and other media?
Yeah. I think you have one for John Bale.
234-0191 is my telephone number, and I'm sorry I don't know the telephone numbers of the editors of the two newspapers, but you ought to have to
give yours again, please, John.
234-0191.
Did everybody get his telephone number?
Yeah.
All right, the regular number is 234-7111. That will give you the circulation. The dash, not the circulation, that will give you the seat. Right. Now, let's go back then and be sure we're putting these two things in proper perspective. John raised the question with regard to what can be done. We still didn't have all the answers to John's question. In terms of the others that are representatives here, whether or not they feel they are covering the minority news fairly and impartially.
So, yes. The reason why I ask that question is all the news media feel that everything is all right there with their news coverage, then no matter what he says, it will make them exist right. So, just to get it in the right framework, if there possibly might be something wrong there with news coverage, or it might be some impartiality, then we can come to the table and make work out there some means that whereby that we can solve this problem. But if they take this attitude, then really it's not
a problem. I think what you've said is important. I think we should follow that. Brad, you were about to say something there.
I think that it has to be understood that the fair and impartial coverage point of view is, depends on where you stand. That we continue to work from our own perspectives, no matter how fair and impartial we may try to be. That we, any individual, is a human being with his own bag, bringing it up to the point where he now exists, and he's going to see things from that point of view. He is, whether he tries or not, going to phrase it in such a way, going to put the lead item or something or other from what he thinks is appropriate. He may follow a story because he thinks that's appropriate. We wouldn't be having this dialogue if it weren't felt by a great number of people that, from their point of view, that our points of view are not fair and impartial. I think that I'd like to turn the question and say, if we are to hear what other people think, to perhaps adjust our thinking, to at least broaden our outlook, turn the question around and say, what do you who feel we aren't doing a fair job? What do you think we should do? If you were in the position of selecting yours, what would you do?
All right.
Give us some insight from your point of view.
I think that's another way of looking at it. Let's keep it in this frame of reference. Bud first and then Jim. I mean, no, it was Len and then Jim.
The article that appears in the Voice, the editorial, CIP speaking, is it carried only by the Voice?
Did you contact the other papers yet?
No.
It's only by the Voice now.
Only by the Voice. All right. CIC is an organization that is funded by the city and by the county. Which means essentially that everyone who lives in this county has a part in financing and funding of CIC. There is an editorial that appears in the Voice weekly, CIC speaking, that covers some of the things that take place in the dialogue. It seems to me that if other newspapers, Union, Tribune, Star News, Sentinel, and so forth, are interested in reporting what is going on with CIC, what is this organization that we are all funding doing, how about considering sending that CIC speaking? It's one additional way that some of the news of the minority community could be made aware to the people outside of the minority community.
Jim?
These are taken to the point of some things can be done. I assume that's the context in which
we've been
talking. Yes. Dealing with the 200th anniversary celebration and also the rumored All-American City Award for San Diego.
in the 2nd anniversary in the area of public accommodation, I would, if I was a news reporter or an editor of a paper, I would want to know what the feeling would be of outsiders coming to San Diego and at every hotel or motel that they enter, there were no minority people in public contact positions. I want to know what the feeling of the people would be that would be coming to visit this historic occasion. It would appear to me that coming in from the outside, that I'd never been to San Diego, that there were no minorities in San Diego with any ability at all to pass a person a card and to sign it and assign him to a room. That would be one thing I would be concerned about. And then in connection with this All-American City Award, I understand, I don't know, I've asked the question two or three times and I haven't had any answers here about the whether this is authentic or not, that we in San Diego is on the list for an All-American City Award. I haven't seen anything in the newspapers about it. I haven't viewed any editorials or anything over the television about it. But I would be concerned about what this whole thing of All-American City would entail. This is two of the things I'd be concerned about. I would raise the issue for public response.
At the last dialogue, we had as our agenda there the All-American City Award, and we had Jim up from the Community Relations Division with a film to show. Since he didn't get into it, obviously, I asked him not to bring it back this time because we'd probably not get to it either until down further. It can come back up at some appropriate time, but I'd rather for Julian to...
I wasn't speaking about showing the film or anything. I was speaking about the gentleman here asked what would the minorities do if they were in that position.
Right.
As news reporters, and if we had the news media at our command, this is what I would do.
Right, let's take these two or three now and follow them through. You would look at the 200th anniversary and do something different, right?
Put a little more color in it anyway.
Put more color. What do you mean, put more color?
I would put more blacks and browns in key positions.
Okay.
And as far as the public accommodations can't be separated from the 200th anniversary because the people coming here will have to live someplace.
So then show it that way and point it out that they're not there now?
Yes. And the only thing that we saw that was giving indication of something black was some matches we had here last time where you had a black Uncle Tom with red lips and a red suit on running with a bag at a hotel that nobody here didn't even know where the hotel was.
All right, your hand was up earlier.
Because I would like to refer back to the question that Charlie asked about the in-service training for the people that make the news. I think that Jimmy Gaines is specific. What we can do, I think if we are agreed that the perception of the individual making the decision is going to be extremely important in framing his decision as to whether or not this is news, whether this is important. The Black Studies thing wasn't important here, but Life has a special article on a university that has been able to institute peacefully the things that other universities have to have certain warfare over to get instituted. This they saw as news. I would say that one of the most important things the media could do would be to institute, perhaps jointly or in their own areas, whether it's just a copy newspaper, whether it's TV, whether it's radio, whether it's all together, some kind of in-service training where we can get down to not just specific initially, but get down to feelings and perceptions, and you may find out, you see, that fellow who has been making a judgment that something is not news, in reality, if a black got elected president, that wouldn't be news to him. And the differential in this type of judgment in the news media, I think, is as different as perhaps the differential in the area of justice or this type of thing. Where do you see it? I've heard the comment of an individual viewing the capture of Robert Shelton, the head of the Ku Klux Klan, was being put in jail for his year term or 14-month term. The comment was, isn't it too bad that a patriot like him has this happen to him? Well, this is differential perception all down the line, you see. But I don't think that it necessarily is any different than the differential judgment that can be made regarding me.
All right, Brad?
Yeah, she hit both an obvious and the more subtle kinds of things that you're concerned with. She recognizes that if the black became president, that would be new. And farther down the line, that's new. Certainly, there was a considerable amount of coverage when it came to appointing councilmen, and I think Raymond Williams has been quite well covered, for example, with his much less than being president. I think that is news, and I think that's news by anybody. I think the more difficult area is in the more subtle kinds of things that you're talking about. I'd like to speak to his comment and to add a note of realism. The 200th is, by any stretch of the imagination, a promotion to bring people to San Diego to spend money. So is the All-American Cities Award. It's a game that's played. You do that because it's publicity and promotion. And I think that while what you are talking about is important in terms of the conscience of the city and the way people ought to feel and think, that they are, in a sense, two different things. That the kind of thing you're talking about is news from another thing. We should be concerned with where people are working and the fact that they can move anywhere and meet with anybody. But I think that to put those two together is not quite as realistic. I don't see how he would create a news item out of that.
Well, let's ask them.
Yeah. So I'd like to know more about how you would make hard news, or the kind of, I'm talking about hard news, not behind the news, which is more what we do, but where would you build a story so that it could be a news story? In the judgment of what you put a headline on working for.
Well, we are obviously working from two different plateaus. He's working from the plateau of the power structure, and I'm looking at it from a peon's point of view, which is news to me, and which is news to the nation. If the nation knew that this was really an all-American city, what entails an all-American, and what an all-American city really supposed to be, that includes people of all arts in key positions. I only mentioned public accommodation where a man is sitting up at a desk or a girl is at a desk giving you a card to sign. I would say that you made this a headline story, but I'm saying that there should be community awareness that this is not the thing that's existing, and we're still talking about an all-American city, which is far from the truth when you talk about this type of thing. In the 200th anniversary celebration, the whites were not the discoverers and altogether the foundation for this particular area. The people who are there are in menial roles. The Mexican Americans, for instance, are not in key positions. They're not in any position of direction in this whole celebration. We're all playing the traditional role that the power structure has allotted us as Mexican Americans and blacks. Back in the kitchen as busboys and dishwashers in this overall thing, which is something that
is nude, and one thing that would I feel that the press would come forth with if there was some type of demonstration doing this type of thing by blacks and Mexican Americans, you'd have a TV camera out there. Now, how would you defend that? What would bring them out at a demonstration that wouldn't bring them out for a demonstration? That's what I'm saying.
All right, some more input to help Brad further clarify what was mentioned earlier about things being covered so that the media Diaz would fully understand what we're talking about. So I hand back up over here and then we'll go to, Andy.
Yeah, I wanted to ask one question. I'm not a news reporter. I don't think I ever want to be one. And I've never met a news reporter that, to me, that seems to stand impartial. I would think that if I was going to be a news reporter, I'd be a good one. And I would have contacts throughout the city in the minority communities, the black and the brown communities, where if there was a story of some type that I thought was worthwhile having put on the air or put in the paper, I'd make sure that I had a contact somewhere that I could call to find out what is actually going on down in your community, what takes place down there. Let me know what's happening, or if I have a line of communication back and forth with you. But the way I see it is that, you know, you sit here on the pedestal and you look down. If you see a tiny temple, you pick it up. Well, from my point of view, I don't think this is good news cover.
Yeah, you still can tell.
Now, I'd like to say this, and I'll conclude with the Tribune. I think a lot of pressure should be put on the Tribune because this is the largest newspaper in this area. And it entails the whole city and possibly the county. I don't know. I don't know how far this extends. But up until about 2 years ago, when Harold Brown made all of the loud noise about the Tribune not taking care of business in the minority community, we had no coverage whatsoever. Somebody could die in San Diego, somebody could get married. You never know in the Southeast area, that is. You never know what has happened. And until we stopped buying the papers in the Southeast and put a little pressure on the Tribune, we didn't get any coverage. But after we put the pressure on, they had people all over the Southeast. They were walking over each other. And now, since we let the pressure off of them, they're going back to the same old trend.
Right. Listen to what he's saying. Yes, if we were really sincere about this thing, we would have some black reporters connect with these papers and these television and radio places. This is the thing that puzzles me. Why, and if we get a newsman, we'll send him over to Korea somewhere to talk about news over there. I understand that one of the stations, Kobo or somebody, had a black man that told me that was a news reporter, but he was in Korea or Vietnam or somewhere. Why can't we get some people here? Is that something against the policy of the papers and the radio stations and the TV stations here that we can't get Negro? We got schools of all types that are teaching these Caucasian boys and girls how to be news reporters and other things that go along with the news media. Is the problem that you can't find any of the non-taking journalism, or what is the problem? This is what I and we wouldn't have this problem because you have somebody that was acquainted with the black problem and also able to weigh, if they call it weigh, I don't know how they call it. Anyway, the imported news that somebody would bring the news into them. I'm asking for questions because I don't know. I see it. I mean, everywhere I go, most of the major cities there seem to be a lack of.
Let's get some answers from the news media on that question.
I can give you some experiences that we've had. We would very much like to have black newsmen. There are very few of them. There's a real shortage. The ones that are really good can name their own price, or Chicago or New York or Los Angeles. I was talking to the publisher of the Newark Evening News. Newark is a city which is almost 50% black, I believe, and I asked him how many black reporters he had. He said he had very few, but at one time they had a great deal, and that they were all grabbed by the New York Times and the Washington Post. A couple of years ago, I wanted to hire not a black reporter, but a black managing editor, not because he was black, because he was the most capable person who applied for the job. And he was a fellow who worked on the Evening Tribune, and he couldn't stand the atmosphere there, not because top management wasn't good to him. He couldn't stand the editorial policy, he couldn't stand the play of news, and he didn't like some of the personal comments he'd hear around the office, although, as I say, he said top management was very good to him. So I offered him the job, and then he applied for it. I offered it to him. And he came back about a week later, and he said, well, he just didn't want to take it because he didn't think he'd feel at home in the South Bay. It would be too much of a cultural shock to him. He'd be head of he'd be an executive and head of a white staff. Since then, only one black reporter has applied to me. I didn't have an opening at that time. I called him up 2 months later when we did have an opening, and by that time he had obtained a job elsewhere. So it's a problem. Obtaining people is one of the things, and then making. I think that the black people are somewhat, with reason, sensitive. They want to be sure when they go to work for a place that they're going to be welcome. I think maybe some organizations don't try very hard to make sure that they are. It's a combination of factors. So.
Keep talking about that, and we get back to the other.
Yeah, let me take this on a step further, because you asked a very good question, and so did the gentleman ahead of you, and I'd like to answer yours first about black reporters. I'd like to take Lowell's story one step further. That same man he's talking about, who quit working for the newspapers here because he felt they were using him as an Uncle Tom, he's now working for Newsweek. I know because I helped get him the job. He's an excellent man. They're delighted with him. He's one of their top men. He is a man of considerable ability, and I know from Newsweek's standpoint, if they could get 10 more like him, they'd be delighted. Now, the fact of the matter is, I'm out of State College. There are exactly two black kids in that whole journalism department. I think one of them's gone now. So they're down to one out of a couple hundred.
Two now.
Back up to two, okay.
Yep.
Out of a couple hundred. So the answer is there's just
one in the broadcasting curriculum.
Only one in the broadcasting.
Right.
So the point is, for some reason, these kids aren't taking this stuff. Maybe because the money's lousy. I can testify, after being in it for newspapers for 20 years, newspaper pay is terrible. TV pays somewhat better.
Blacks like the evils of society, too.
They like the evils
of society. The evils of society. They like all the bad and the good.
You mean money is one of the bad?
No. Whatever it is that blacks like, I'm trying to say.
As far as what efforts should be made, I know Newsweek has a policy of contacting black kids in college and trying to get them to work, whether they're journalism majors or really interested in it or not. I think that may be something that we all ought to do. We all ought to try, because until we get people from not only black races, but from the Mexican-Americans and all others into the communications, we're never really going to get anywhere. So I think your question is, not enough is being done on either side, and we've probably got to take that big step and do a little bit more. I know we're trying. Now, to get to your point that you made a minute ago about how a reporter operates and contacts in the black community, you're dead right. If something happens in a part of town and you don't know anybody down there, you can't call anybody, you're like a blind man. And what you write and what you broadcast is like a blind man's reaction. I know for myself and for many others, we try, maybe we should try harder. But that is definitely a lack of communication between the news media and what we call news sources. Normally, a newspaper or a large news gathering operation has what they call beats or runs. And these are places that a reporter generally is. For instance, the City Hall here has a, each paper has a man here. For a while, the union had a beat man working southeast. He was a white reporter and a good man, but it was always kind of secondary. They never really left him there long enough to do the job. When Nolan, the fellow we were talking about, was on the Tribune, obviously he covered that. The union has one black reporter now. He's a military affairs specialist, and that's the beat that he covered. So I don't know. I think that may be part of the answer. And if you can't put a full-time man, maybe there should be a system of correspondence set up by various news media right in the ghetto, just like they might have somebody out in a county town or somewhere where they can't afford or can't put a full-time reporter. So again, the answer to your question is you're dead right. In some way, I'm a little surprised that you people have really been as easy as you have. You talk about things like the 200th and the All-American City, which is kind of cool.
We'll get down there in a minute. We're still,
okay.
I know
I'd
what
like
you're saying.
Get warmed up.
Yeah, we'll get warmed up after a while.
Carol,
you know, it's a little cool today, isn't it?
Carol, I think that the gentleman from the Tribune should reply to, because a lot of questions have been thrown at him. And I'm a little man, but I carry a big stick. I know it's also, he's a little man, but he's kept in a big shoe. And so I think that he should be allowed to express his feelings in that area. I don't know whether it's the lack of funds while the union is being on or what. I'd like
let him answer that, huh? Did you want to make it a reply, Jim?
Sure. I've been sitting here listening to other people talk about my business. Good of comfort. Actually, here are a few simple facts of life. One of the most respected reporters in the Union Tribune establishment is Kip Cooper, and he is black, and he is efficient, and we would like to have 10 more like him. It's quite right, he can only do one thing at a time. He's a good man. We underwrite scholarships in 17 different colleges. I don't know whether anybody else here sees that or not, for journalism. And we turn the selection of the journalism students who get the scholarship over to the school itself. We allow them to pick, and our criteria are only promised in his chosen endeavor, and his likelihood to succeed, and his academic record coupled with his economic needs. We say nothing about race, should you? This is an interesting point. We debate this a great deal. The various colleges, of course, have different attitudes about the restraints which we place on them for the scholarship. However, it's a matter of considerable interest that there are 7 black now going to school under a copy newspaper scholarship in one college or another, aimed at a journalistic career. It's our prayer that these young men, one is a woman, a girl, will all materialize in the career of newspaper journalism. But it is a fact that there are not enough of them, that they are seized upon by the large city dailies. We have great trouble, even though we underwrite their education. We put have no strings on them in feeling that they will end up in on our roll. I believe that this is an evolutionary process, and that there will be a day when there will be more. I wish the day were here now, because we desperately need them. But we've got to be pragmatic about it. They aren't to be had in the numbers that we want. They're just not to be had. Are there any restraints about hiring them? Let there be no doubt in the minds of any of my friends or colleagues here. So far as I know,
the corporation for which I work not only has no restraints about hiring, but is hungry.
In response to why you don't get enough minority people in this, I would imagine that the union is like all other white institutions, that they will invite you in if you play at the white man's way. The minute you even mildly act in any way yourself, then it is a very threatening position to the power structure, and therefore, no, I cannot see how a black person, a Mexican-American, could possibly comfortably work in that type of atmosphere, because this happens again and again. There are some obvious things that do not need a minority person. We're going to the 200th anniversary. You would swear that all Mexicans disappeared from San Diego. We're celebrating the 200th, and there's no people that were here 200 years ago. No, none of the same thoughts.
I think we have to get specific. You know, we're talking about news coverage in general, and I think to really get in on the problem, we have to get specific. Now, talking about Pete and Brad, KBS, and what's happening at Chula Vista Star, I think some good things are happening there. But I think where the criticism lies, where I see the criticism is in our daily paper, and what is happening, and I think some things are happening. Some things may be good that are happening, but I kind of feel like it's a compound. And what in terms of covering the black community, I think the black community is a sizable community. I don't know what the statistics are here in terms of the total community for San Diego, but I think what's new for the black community should also be new for the white community too. So I think it is worth covering. And may I stop this whole thing a minute? You seem to be awfully polite this morning. You seem to be, you know, well, like this is the first time we started. Now, I can take time out and put some spark in this and reflect all the complaints that we get every day that we've had voiced here and around the city for the past several years. They're specific, they're general, they're fighting, they're nasty. You have the people here who've asked to give them some kind of ideas about what bothers the black, what bothers the brown. We know it all. And I hear nobody simply saying, so they can hear it because they asked for it, exactly what are some of the things we think about the papers in our city as it relates to black and brown coverage. And they're not going to benefit. They're not going to benefit if we sit here and leave today and not say all the things that's been said here before, constantly said here before, and said every time black and brown people get together, if they're talking about the union and tribune, 10 and 8 in particular, 10 in particular, 8 in general. Now, are they going to say it, or are they going to leave here and not benefit?
Mr. Chairman, I think the reason for it is that we've been saying it for 2 years. And they have been hearing, and they have, and they still have their format. And until we can get recognized as a part of the power structure, you waste time, you know, talking a lot of things about what's going to happen. The man just said a moment ago that he agreed that he's on this plateau and I'm at this plateau. And whatever I say will never, you know, we'll never reach a happy medium.
He said he's different.
Until we become equals, then we're not going to be able to get anything that's going to be all-inclusive. All you're going to get is when they say we need a newsman down there, but if a Negro shoots somebody down, shoot another one down there, that's in the newspaper. But if you have a cultural program, that can't get in the newspaper because nobody's down there to see it. Now, this is the thing I'm talking about, and we've been here 2 years talking about the same thing.
All right, that's it. Now, they understood what you said. It would be as heated, it would be as more meaningful and gutty, but he is indicating that there is a view that it's useless, and that's important in itself. and it's been said enough, they're tired of saying it. That should be very significant. Let's start around here. I saw several hands.
But wait, I want to complete. Now, the gentleman mentioned that he had he had 7 or 8 scholarships in some school, that they're paying scholarships in some school, but he had no immediate tie on the people that were on the scholarship from his paper. Now, I can understand how I would pay for my son's schooling and wouldn't have any tie with him. I mean, this is what tells me. Now, it would mean that if you were going to support a student in school, prepare him for journalism, that you would have enough faith in that child, evidently you gave the money, to bring him back to your paper as a reporter. Now, you split the do the whites that way.
No.
Well, I wrote it from the whites themselves.
All the scholarships that we have are just for support of the students, and we have no strings on them, regardless of their color. Now, this may be right or it may be wrong, but that's the way it is. When they graduate, if they want to go to work for you, they can go to work for you. If they don't want to go to work at all, they're given a scholarship. We pay for it, and the school has a selection board that chooses them, and they get the scholarship. No strings on them. Now, you may say that's wrong.
It is wrong. I think that's kind of meaningless. If we're talking about San Diego, why the hell do you want to a student to go to school up in New York, and he might not even get down this damn way. I think what you need to do is, if you're going to do something that's worthwhile, why don't you put the damn kids out of state college, try to help them get along so they can report to you from the black and brown community here in San Diego. That's what we're talking about. I could care less what happened in Chicago or Detroit or someplace. We're talking about San Diego, San Diego County. And if you can't help the students here, how the hell are you going to feel justified sending somebody to school up there?
Go out to San Diego State and ask how
who's
many scholarships we're supporting there.
Okay, how many of them are black? This is what I'm talking about. You're talking about you need black reporters and brown reporters. How the hell are you going to get them if you don't recruit them? This is what I'm talking about.
Ask the school how many of them they chose to select.
What do you mean, so? Who? If you don't send them the damn money, how can't you? You can't choose them if you want.
Well, I guess you could.
Well, I don't do that. This is what I'm talking about.
You don't want to buy. You don't want to buy a guy just because you paid for his wages.
That's not what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You want to promise him a job? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
but I'm buying him something else.
You get a white boy and take him and train him and promise him a job. Guarantee him a job.
I've seen boys start in the newspaper as clean sweep the janitor. Then they go to copy boy. Then they go to something else. Pretty soon they report him. How many blacks you have started as a janitor in the Tribune or any other damn new media here in San Diego that started as a janitor and worked their way up the ladder? None. You can't show me not one. But I bet you can point out something that started as a janitor that are white. This is the way white people get ahead. Negroes don't ever get ahead this way. Because we start on the bottom and we stay on the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know what you have to say, but it's meaningless to me.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now. I feel this. All these news medias, all these agencies of communication, all of them are prejudiced. They're biased. The damn money, they use it the way they want to use it. Who they want to promote, they promote. What news they want to publish, they publish. Regardless of what the black and the brown community say, these people know what they want to do and they do it. They can care less how we feel about it. So we don't buy the paper good. When the paper flags off, they'll come down and try to dig the story out of it. Yeah. Because they can have a person say, well, we were the first to come down to Southeast San Diego and we did nothing. So, the hell with that. If you can't come all the time, we don't want you at all. And the money you're giving us in some kids' school someplace else is not going to benefit San Diego and it's not going to benefit the black here in San Diego. So, if you want to do something that means something, help the kids out of here. This is what we're talking about. This is what we need. Forget about other places. We need it right here.
Several hands have been up. George, Art, then I see the gentleman back here and over here and over here. So we have got to get them around.
Jesse.
I mean Jesse, sorry, just Jesse.
I like to
put them on the
whole time.
All of them look alike. All
of them. Basically, Negro color.
Negro colleges?
Yes. I believe that our efforts have been confined to the schools right around here, right around this Southern California area. I'm not sure, but I can find out. I don't believe we've gone out of this immediate area.
Well, I would like to, in response to this, say that, in my opinion, it would be absolutely indispensable.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I agree with you.
Sure, I agree with
you. Who did I call second?
You extend them to the third before you have interviews. Before you have paid something.
Pretty much.
I'd like to point out two or three things. I think you recognize that there are many institutions who do provide scholarships with the stipulation that you come back and be employed with them for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. The PDA scholarships do this, and a lot of institutions do it. There's nothing wrong with it. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, the only thing. I don't know why you can't be doing it. I'd like to just put in a good word. I was off by Cobro the other day, and there was a very attractive black girl, young lady, who was the receptionist at the switchboard for the district. There's no one way out there. Maybe it's broken, I don't know. But I also have a white friend who quit at the Union Tribune, who was an editorial writer, because he was fed up to the teeth with what he thought was their white racist policy there. He left town and went to work in another city because he just couldn't come into the newspaper. So it isn't just blacks that are having problems, but there's some of the white people that are fed up too.
All right, I called some hands here. That which order did I call? Who's next?
I'm Dan McKinnon from KSON Radio, and I'd just like to point out that the NAB has a very fine program for hiring the youth during the summertime. And last summer they hired nearly 2,000 youth in this community.
Like hell.
Go ahead. That's the figures I got.
Yeah.
Well, these were the jobs that were supposed to have been available, actually.
Well, sir, so just let me follow through here.
We participate in the program. We call it the OE. There's some youth corps program. YLC. We called down there and specified we wanted to hire a man to work at KSON Radio. And we wanted him from the minority, one of the minority races. It took us about 4 weeks to get a boy out to the radio station called the youth. And he finally did show up. We couldn't get anybody who was really sincerely interested in any of the news operations, the engineering operations. I had really was quite frankly interested in hearing our youth. So he could come out there and be an engineer on a part-time basis. So during weekends, we could employ him and have him on a year-round basis while he's in, providing with some money while he's going to school. We could, we've got one fellow out there finally, and we had to end up dreaming up some painting and other types of work for him to do. We hired him for the rest of the summer, but we could not find a person that was motivated that wanted to come out and work at a radio station.
But is that
how we're going to solve that problem, motivating people to come and want to work?
Well, your conclusion didn't follow your other statement. Your conclusion didn't follow your other statement. Can you chime in for us? You say you couldn't find one that was...
Well, we thought we were going to the experts that would send to us the kind of person that is motivated in this, because this is the way the program was set up.
And you went to one source, I heard.
Well, this was supposed to be the prime source for the whole community in the White
House. Well, we were asked to do it,
and that's the other reason. They're supposed to have the whole file catalog of all the youth in that way.
Well, unfortunately they don't, but we'll get into that later on. Yeah. Who, did I call your hand next, Jenny?
No, you called somebody else.
Okay.
Like
Jenny and then Duke, okay.
Yeah, just one thing. I'm not putting a plug for anybody. My husband, he's at Bill Wade School of Radio now. And you mentioned something about trying to get more black people involved in these things.
The minorities.
Browns and blacks. I feel that if you're really sincere about this program is no more than 8 weeks. Sometimes a 12-week program where they actually go in there to get their first class license and they come out being able to work on radio. So the sincerity is to go to the groups that are already training people to work in radio, TV, and et cetera, and you won't have a problem. The thing is right there. As Bill, that my husband said there, question, there's no blacks there. The reason is because it's a $500 course. They can't afford to. Why not take $500 and take a cow or a young guy out of high school? Because none of those whites come there are motivated, do believe me. They're not motivated either. But they come out at least with a certificate saying that they can't. And I know if you get some black guys, that just as non-motivated and put them in there. They can come out with a certificate too. So you just call me when you say you really want it, because there are places that's available for this. And I know I listen to it every day.
Let me ask you a question. First place, the people come out of Bill Wade's radio school. When they get the certificate, doesn't mean they're qualified to go on our radio.
Oh, they go. They have
some
lots of
time.
Go. Well, this is it.
So let me ask you a question here, and this is a real puzzlement to me, and maybe somebody has the answer in this room. Whose responsibility is it to a degree? Is it totally our responsibility to go out and seek out these people, or is it their responsibility to apply for a job and take an interest and become motivated and making an effort to get a job?
Before you jumped all over.
Let me know all
over. Okay,
go ahead.
Well,
I'm not
talking
about this. I'm not talking about this, too. I think that if you run a newspaper or any type of media in any community, you should reflect the whole community. And if you don't have blacks or browns working on your staff or working in your paper or what have you, your responsibility is to go out and get it. Because you service the whole community. And when you don't do this, you're not doing your job. When you approach about why you don't have people on your staff, you can say, well, we don't have because they don't come in the plot. Silly. Stupid. That's idiotic. We don't do that no more. We used to, but we don't. That day is past. It's your job to go out and recruit these people or make it possible for them to take an interest to come in your establishment or whatever you're going to run. You service the community, you reflect the community.
Equipment, so you go out and find them and train them.
You're absolutely right.
They're breaking their neck right here on Point Loma, trying to figure out ways to train people here at NCC to fill the job they've got to fill. So the basic thing gets back to this question of perception. Do we see the job as essential? What judgment do we use? And I think this is where we're falling down. We're saying this isn't important, or it's not that important. And I'm saying, if we perceive it as being that important, we find these people. And if we couldn't find them, we set up ways of motivating them. And we get them out there, and we get them working.
I think I called John Zane next.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons that you may feel, and I feel, that the dialogue this morning is not getting down to it, is you're discussing three or four different subjects. Journalism, scholarship, recruiting of black and brown people for journalism, and coverage of minority news, suggesting local stories. And for instance, if you think if the Union or Tribune or 8 or 10 are going to say anything bad about the All-American City or the 200th anniversary, it's going to have to snow in July.
You can get that. Yeah, you can get that.
And as long as we're talking on four issues, I don't think you're going to get down to one. The Union and Tribune can hire a black reporter and has, and their attitude about covering the minority community is not going to change. they're still not going to be any better about it. They can hire 10 of them, and they may have a little rebellion on their hands, but they still could cover the minority community in the same way. And I think it gets down to the judgment of the editors and down to the human thing, to their attitudes and their prejudices and their discrimination and their bias. And we're talking all around that, but not sure.
All right. I think John might later mention a black radio program that needs funding out at UCSD. The point I wanted to make, it's a darn good question, and it's one you really ought to lose some sleep over, the questions you've been raising here about the adequacy of trained black people in the profession. It's an educational question that I think is well worthy of people who really dig the system and want to see it working properly to lose a little sleep over. Because I would like, it would really help my pride to see the Union Tribune leading the way in terms of digging into the educational system and why it isn't getting some of this done. And another point, as a matter of policy, I would be real proud to see the Union Tribune state it will not give scholarship money to any institution that does not have, let's say, is not overrepresented in terms of minority personnel with people within the community. Meaning if 20% minority people exist in the San Diego area, if San Diego State College is underrepresented, tough luck. I mean, this would be an effective way of backing up what you're attempting to say. Because a strong rationale can be made for tying your funds in that fashion.
All right, Dave up here.
Okay. I've got a lot of collective comments about things that have been going on.
Want to narrow them down?
Yeah. They've all come, finally, I think, under one heading, because more or less reaction to what's been said and things that bother me about my own business and so forth. I think that those people that come out of Bill Wade School or some other are not ready for our station, we mean that sincerely, because we've had smorgasbord in terms of people looking for jobs over the years. Hardly any of them. Right. Hardly any of them black. And what I'm about to say is that you develop an attitude that we're not a training school. We are the professional high level radio and television and newspaper company. And but maybe we ought to change that attitude to allow for some on the job training. Take some people who aren't so hot at this level of broadcasting or newspaper. Now, in line with that, I'd like to pick up on the 200th anniversary thing that you're talking about in terms of news coverage. News coverage is reactive. I use that word instead of reactionary, please note.
Could be both, you would say.
Could, yeah, okay. What I think you're looking for in terms of that kind of news coverage is editorial and investigative reporting, because that's the kind of news that is, it seems to me. And there's probably too darn little of that going on, too. Okay? I don't know whether that's the answer for that, but that's what that kind of news reporting is, it seems to me, because news reporting follows what's happening rather than originating what's happening. Newsmen, shoot me down if you want to.
You mentioned something earlier that directly ties in with that about the beat. And if you take a look at the beat that the papers have, naturally give an indication of the news that gets in the paper, the courthouse. What kind of context are blacks and browns dealt with in the courthouse? That's what comes to the media. The police, you don't know a reporter for the TV station that hasn't got a police radio in his car, so he's following the police news all day. What kind of context are blacks and browns dealt with in the police department? City Hall. Those beats that they covered, they are establishment right across the line. And so their point of view, the things that they are saying are taken as truth, and that's the thing that's getting in every media in the city. So I'm saying that the deep structure, by being altered, could affect the coverage of the news.
You start to do, Carol, is break down print versus electronic media.
Yes.
And then address yourself to print media, which I think you were, and discover that.
I was addressing myself to electronic media.
Were you? Well, applying that to print media.
You're not the only ones with the responsibility to print
media. Applying that to print media, though, you find that the news columns themselves are against the base of the judgment factors that the general talked about, are a mirror of the community. And the editorial columns are hard-charging, strong position statements on what's happening in Afghanistan. And that's where it starts to fall apart. You don't find the print media editorial leadership that you expect. And it seems to me you've got to separate electronic and print news and editorial and start from that base.
All right, John was trying to bring us down to where we zero in on one of these things. I was trying to get through earlier and talk about it, because if that is crucial, really, we're all talking about. Dave, and then you didn't finish your
point. No, I didn't really get done, and this is all good for that, too. It's significant that you should look to the print media for leadership in editorial writing, editorial presentation. It's also right, because we've only been doing it a short time.
The reason I do is because the electronic media in San Diego is providing editorial leadership, and the print media is not.
Can you tell us what you were talking about in the language of
electronic versus print?
Oh, that's a classic.
I fight that every day. I'm a salesman. But, could I finish with my original point?
That is your original point that we clarified. All right.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is that you can say media, you can say newspaper, radio, television, all day, and stations and newspapers and organizations all day. But it really comes down to people. And I believe that we need to get more black reporters and Mexican-American reporters. I mean, we need to get some black reporters and Mexican-American reporters. Yeah. But at the same time, that's not as fast, maybe not as fast, maybe not the best method of turning media into what it ought to be. And the best method is undoubtedly changing attitudes of people who are already in there, instead of just establishing a colorful island in the middle of newsrooms.
No, could we stop that there, Mr. Chairman? This is the reason we are dead today. Yeah. Changing the attitudes of the power structure, the people who are already there. This is the whole indictment against our society. White racism. This is what we've been talking about all the time. And this is a good example of it here, what we've been talking about now. Nobody seems to know how to go about getting blacks and browns involved in the overall new structure. They're looking for a super duper black or brown. Now, the news media can go to Washington and bring down a man from Washington to San Diego for X station. They can go to New York and get an editor for X paper. But they can't go to the schools of journalism that blacks own and operate throughout America to find men there who are ready to go. But they have no place to go, so they have to take the alternate route, go into the teaching profession if they can find a school or something. This is what I'm talking about now. The reason for it is that we can't break this wall down. The president, the former president, Mr. Johnson, sent out a committee. They explored everything that we're talking about now and came back and levied an unquestionable indictment against this society, which I feel they were a bit premature in that statement. They jumped the gun, because this is the thing that builds up further hostility in the mind of the power structure, because they can't understand what we're talking about. We said white racism. They don't want to understand it.
Well, it seems to me that the attitudes of the white power structure, or people in the business, the white people, not going to change easily under an atmosphere of attack defense.
True.
You know?
Well, I said the committee jumped the gun.
What we're going to look for is ways to change their attitude.
Yeah. So you get people in, that won't have to conform to an existing pattern. This is what they're talking about now. We're saying, Uncle Tom, a man that's going to acquiesce to what's already existing, and he loses his identity as a black and becomes a part, becomes a puppet to the power structure. And this is what has been existing throughout all of our communities. In city government and everywhere else, whenever you put a black in there, he must be orientated. You see, when you talk about the public that the paper cared about Leon Williams, they carried a sort of sarcastic presentation that he is in here as the first black councilman, but we didn't like the way he got in here because it was public pressure. They didn't say about Martinez and others that they put in there. That's what I'm talking about, calling the news.
They were quoting, though. They didn't say, the media didn't say that.
The media, but they got the clear exact. It came from the mayor and the other people who were responsible for it.
You can't blame the media for quoting the mayor.
Yeah, but
that didn't quote about some of the others that were appointed.
Yeah.
From high level people.
It wasn't from the mayor either. It wasn't from the
mayor,
it was from the paper.
I remember one.
One thing that you notice, I read a lot of newspapers in this business, and there are many newspapers which are alert to this problem. I get the New York Times, for example. I get the Los Angeles Times. These papers have set up departments of urban affairs. They hire people who are black, white, people who are trained in sociology, who do investigative reporting, who dig into the problem, who go into the ghetto areas and say that there's a lack of this, there's a lack of that, what's wrong, the moods in the area, the lack of transportation, the lack of hospitals, the lack of paved streets, the housing situation. They do death stories. They alert the community to the problems. They create an atmosphere where things can get done. My objection to the San Diego paper is that it is not what they do negative, what they don't do at all.
Yeah.
This is the problem, and it seems to me that if there is a will on the part of management, this can be easily overcome by hiring a staff, four or five people who have this background, who give them their space, give them their heads, and let them go. Because there are these problems, and these problems are not zeroed in on. That's the point.
Yeah,
it's the death news.
And the reason this happens, they go out and find black people. You see, from what you would gather at most of our dialogues, that all blacks are and browns are idiots. You know, that you can't find anybody to do anything. And some of the best minds in America today, in the world today, are black and brown. And they're not being used.
They don't want to the San Diego Union Tribune.
San Diego Union Tribune won't hire them.
Well, it sounds like they won't, but they've got to go out and get them. And blacks and whites, too. There are a lot of whites who are trained in this field. And you can get a staff of people who can approach this from all angles. If you give them the space and you give them their head and you give them and you tell them to go out and explore these problems and bring the message to the community at large. But they don't. This is the problem.
You know, let's look at a specific investigative type of reporting that I haven't read anything about, and I'm sure only two or three people in the room even know about. And I'm going to take prerogative to explode this, because I think it ought to be. Five years ago, I guess, we started working on a swimming pool in Southeast. As you know, the city rights department took this up, and this has gone through the public, the bond bit, you know, what, 65 was it? Whenever it was, some of you might recall,
yeah.
65, and last year and this year, no, end of last year, the news came out that at last it was going to be at Memorial, you know, a swimming pool, public swimming pool in Southeast. That was committed. That was in the paper this past December or maybe this year, I don't know. But most of you probably don't know that at this moment, in spite of that commitment and all of that, the swimming pool is not likely to get it Memorial. Now, this is not secret. It just happens that some of us are privileged to the information. But it is not secret. I have seen no reporting done on it. I've seen no reporter get on it, follow it through, dig out the nasty good ends of it, the nasty ends, the bad ends of it, but it ought to be public by now. There ought to be strong editorial policies on that. And yet, in this city, I'm afraid it will go down the drain. Editorials won't be strong on it. And dig into the reasons why, at this moment this morning, we're not likely to get that swimming pool that we've been talking about for so many years near the Memorial Center. That's an example of the kinds of thing, it seems to me, when you brought in investigation, reporting, and digging in, and in-depth reporting. And let's move on.
Okay. Yeah, and what happened was the money that was appropriated for the pool. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the reporters could dig out that.
They went in and they got a black man in the community that didn't know what was happening in the community and didn't care, and put him on the Parks and Recreation as a chairman or the representative from Southeast San Diego. We haven't heard any report from him, from the black nor the white community, about what happened to the money that you voted for. The money is supposed to be somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Another thing, Carol, we probably won't have our African history class because the news hasn't gotten out to the people, and most of the black people don't even know about it, except the people I talk to personally. So we'll probably have to close the class.
Well, that was an example of the kinds of thing I heard. Now, I saw several hands up, Diane over here, and two women here, and I see the Reverend in the back, and over here. So let's start around this way and move right on around. And Donnie will come back to you and see if your question was asked. You know, Diane?
I'd like to throw out another complete group that is not at all covered adequately, and when they are covered, in a very negative way, and that's a welfare recipient or someone who's below the poverty line. There was a beautiful series, four-part series, in the Wall Street Journal on, they call it Kelly Street Blues. And, you know, whenever you read anything in the San Diego Union or Tribune about a welfare recipient, not the programs that are run for them or anything, it's about so-and-so had a fraud, or there's going to be a new program, and this is going to increase fraud. You never read anything, but that word fraud isn't in the headline. You know, negative or positive programs that are initiated, that's always from a very, very negative point of view. And this is just one of the examples. These people are black, white, and brown, everything. But they are a group defined by the community in a very negative way and reported in that way.
All right, we move right on down.
I know that hard news seems to be a service that is quite news because what the mayor said and other council members may have said are hard news, and it's true, but there may have been other people reacting. For instance, there are also things that happened at North Island. There was some a large group of Mexican Americans that were protesting hiring practices, and also not only the hiring practices but the promotional practices. How about the kids in La Vista that also had something to say? How about the Chicanos had a weekend out here where these men, I don't take the union, I happen to be one of those people that got tired of this, and I don't take anymore. I don't know if this came out. Many things have happened. How did the brownfield, because Frank Price didn't get on the council. These things may not be news to the white community, but they are news of interest to other people.
Right.
Yeah, the one question that I want to ask the same thing that Bob Russell asked when he was here with on the education department. You know, talking to our doctor and all that kind of thing. I want to find out if anybody here reported or not. Can they make any commitments what their papers will do concerning minority people? This is the thing that, you know, we can sit down here and dialogue, and the same thing that happened when we had the educational dialogue. As far as when I leave out here today, can I feel assured that there has been some commitment that some of the things that have been said will be carried through? Or are we just talking to
Lord
Ekman? No, Lord, I think, has a lot of power, but he left. I don't know what kind of
commitment. Well, you're still here. You make your commitment.
I make my commitment with every edition. We don't have any problems in this regard. I don't feel. We have very good rapport and very. We've been accused of being impartial the other way.
Any others wish to answer that question that she raised? Talk to that for us? Dave?
Yeah. Speaking for just myself,
And that's all I really should speak for, even though that my name is next to the call letter. The only kind of action that can take place in these companies is what action is put together by several individuals. And so you can only make your own influence felt as you go along, I would say. So you can make a commitment, yeah. But you can't commit for the entire company unless you happen to be able to give orders. And even if you do, suppose I were the general manager of the whole smear and the three radio stations or something like that. It takes more than that, more than a memo or an executive order to change attitudes.
What does it take?
It takes attitude changing exercises, whatever that is.
Are you all considering programs that will change attitudes for your employees?
I don't know. I would like to be a part of it and push it. I am. Like you said, I'm in the lower echelon.
It's a basic tenet in sociology, though. You don't change attitudes and then discrimination. Now, you change discrimination and
well,
then attitudes change.
Both are going on, but the attack defense thing is going on, yeah. And people are, like this. But at the same time, there ought to be something to balance that out, and only individuals inside the outfit can do that, I think.
Laura, in the corner over there.
Yeah, I think one of the problems we're talking about is fair and impartial coverage. I think one thing is important is equal time with the press, equal time on the editorial page if possible. If we, as a minority community, would be able to get on to the opinion page, the editorial page, to actually express feelings, to get down to feelings of issues and to actually keep all that to barometer or measuring instrument to relate exactly how the community feels on a particular issue. The other thing is that too often news is not covered. For instance, in the La Jolla area, I tried in vain to get a story into the Union, into the Tribune, and even the local newspapers. A story where a Mexican family, 14 Mexican families, homes were bulldozed. And in fact, one person was asleep in the home while the bulldozers were tugging away to put the house fire. Another lady was at work, and when she came home, entire belongings had been loaded on a big truck and all the way to the dump. Well, evidently, this was not hard to do, and it was not covered. As a result, what is happening is that any number of underground newspapers are in existence, and if the press is not careful, we'll be getting the news and not by the way of the news. And so, as such, I believe that unless minorities are given equal time in the news media, equal coverage, and this is a way out idea, even if you had loan out your newspaper entirely for 1 week, or once a week, or one day a week, maybe one day a week would be a good idea. And see the type of headlines we would project. I'd like to know your reaction to
those men.
Let's look at that as an example, then, if we want to stop for a moment. The TVs are here. General has left. The other news stations are here. What about that specifically? Did you know about it?
If I'd known about it, and if the facts had checked out, I would have used it. I just didn't know about it.
The Union knew about it. The Tribune knew about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the Union knew.
The television station, they interviewed, they took a complete story. I checked the newspapers and nothing.
All right, let's ask the TV that are here.
What television do you think I can do? When did this happen? I'll check with my secretary.
When did it happen?
In, I think it was the latter part of August.
badly covered that none of us even know about it now.
That's right.
But the people in the community didn't know about it. It was quite a discussion in some parts of the
story. The story was covered by the local newspaper. What I have a picture of the book. I'm going to give you the title, how it was covered. I have a picture that appeared in one of the local newspapers of the bulldozer pushing a shack of a house over. And it says, improvement being made. Beautiful parking lot. Yeah, soon. A big leading company. But this is the way it was covered. It wasn't that 14 Mexican families were displaced, but we're improving the hardest. All right? It was covered.
Any other questions on that coverage?
Yes. Yeah. Did any of the unions cover this?
Just as a point of information, the families were sent eviction notices, but they were all Mexican-American families, and if you can appreciate the legal way in which the eviction was written, you can understand that they, in many cases, didn't realize what was happening, as is indicative of the man being sound asleep when the bulldozer started throwing his house over, and another woman having gone to work with no preparation to get out, coming home and finding her house and all her belongings simply obliterated. There was nothing left when she came home. These 14 families, as I understand it, just simply scattered. Nobody wanted to pursue it because in many instances they might have mom from across the border illegally, or they don't understand the law and they're afraid to pursue it. And so we had the situation in which the people did not want to press the charges, which made it a little more difficult.
All right. We were around in the corner back there. Art and Ben. Then over to Don at last again.
I wanted to suggest the possibilities of a hard news story if somebody would like to cover it. It would be real interesting to find the underlying reasons why the City Hall has been sitting on their own employment statistics since last July. I got some of the conclusion that they have a white racist computer. Because I've been told that somehow
they have Mary Ann to
cover
the
job.
You leave it. No, let me hold it while it's on the floor.
Months now, in fact, clear back last May or June, we offered computer time to them so that we could expedite it, and we were turned down, and we still haven't seen it.
Mayor, can you answer that? Aubrey?
I don't know who to blame. I wouldn't say it was white racism, I feel it was inefficiency.
Who you are, most people probably don't know who you are yet, Ben.
Do what?
Publish a syndicated column. All right, done?
Yes, Joe, I am. I asked the question in the first part of it, and I don't think, as far as I'm concerned, it's just answers. You know, I think the question was about the attitudes of the news media in regard to the fair and impartial coverage of the minority community. Mm-hmm. I asked this question because I didn't want to get into the bag that we got into there, where we get into that we would like their minority people, but we can't find them all the time. I wanted to kind of spend a time there. If the attitudes were that they were giving out fair and impartial news, there, then we'd have something there to talk about. Because I don't think we are. And we kind of went around the whole boat, and I think this is important.
Any other reactions to that?
Same cop out there as we have with the other ones.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have this because we don't have people that's been for us. And we got in this bag and went all the way around. And the question is that if the attitude is that there's fair and informed, they're not going to get out there and look and recruit there for people like this. And if the attitude is that it's unfair, then there is some inequities in it there, and then we can work this from a different framework. They're trying to solve this and going out there and assist them in recruitment and things of this nature. But with this here, there's no reward.
Are you saying then that this that I tried to put up there, we haven't talked about yet, the minority see the problem one way, and the whites still see the problem another way, starting out from two different positions, and still no agreement that the problem exists as related to the blacks or the browns over here?
I'd like to cut in here for just one second. I've got to leave in about 5 minutes. I noticed on the agenda you mentioned the Mar Vista High incident and riot in Imperial Beach. It directly concerned our newspapers. And I was wondering if anyone would want to bring that up right now, because I've got a luncheon date and I've got a scoop.
Well, let's see, we might get it right up. Jose, did you want to comment on that?
Well,
if not, I'll tell you.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to compliment you on the coverage of the news. I saw it in LA Times, and I think the San Diego Union had even a smaller coverage than the LA Times on it. But I know you devoted several articles, and I think you still follow up.
We had editorialized on it and went to the
right
audience and so forth.
And I thought you did a wonderful job on that incident. But so far as I've been able to gather, the other news media, particularly the paper that reaches so many people and can write something about it, didn't do anything other than put a little article on it. So that's the what I'd like to comment to you about.
The South Face subscribed to us, you said.
Yeah, so I think you did a good job, but I didn't see the other news media and the other papers pick it up and use it for anything.
Is that satisfying you, or did you want spelled out?
I thought maybe somebody had some comments on us about how we. I thought it might be some negative comments, but thank you very much.
Nobody was. They were not covered in the metropolitan area papers, but on TV for that.
Well, this is true in almost everything. The San Diego Gas and Electric thing that we covered it very heavily. We had a lot of letters to the editor on it, pro and con, I might add, and the. It created quite a stir. And actually, just from the standpoint of fear of business in our community, 24% of the people in our area, of the students in our area, for example, are Spanish surnames. It's just good business for us to play up the news. It's exciting. It makes interesting readership. Even the biggest get into the act, and they can write us nasty letters to the editor. You know, and we run them.
Well, I love your paper to read the law.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think we'll profit much here by using those examples if you're covering them well, as he said.
Yeah,
okay.
But
the others are not covering them, we want to look at.
It's kind of refreshing, though, to have somebody say
something
is covered well,
A little plus factor that once in a while something does happen.
Yeah, but I think the whole media ought to take that as,
I think that we could... But we could not talk about what positive things are, which is implied in yours. You see, every black and brown person in this whole world knows what is being done. That's why they talk about
I
what
think
it's not
those who are doing things ought to get pluses for it,
right.
Because that's encouraging to them.
Sure, well, to reward good behavior.
But you tell them once in a while, then you get
to reward his ego, they're all doing a good job from where they're looking. They're all doing a good job.
No, I don't think that's necessary, but when you do.
He said from where they're looking. Meaning, well, you're doing the news, you're doing an excellent job. But we're saying that you're not looking deep enough into it.
Yeah, I'm by that, but I just didn't want to say that everything was negative.
Judge and then Rosemary, Tiger.
I don't know whether any of you have observed what I think I have observed with respect to the printed media in this community as it relates to this institution itself, the dialogue. There was a period of time when there was a fairly good coverage, at the outset. There was quite a bit of coverage and things were printed that were said in here. Then we reached a point where we started becoming effective, in a sense, with some parts of the official community, and things started to be done, and all of a sudden, a great pall of silence set over the press about the things that were being said, the things that were being discussed, the opinions that were being expressed here in the dialogue. We don't hear about it anymore. It's just not printed because we were getting, this dialogue was becoming too effective and too successful. And you had the press then backed away. It was news, but it was not the right kind of news. And the press in this community is just too highly selective in what they cover about what is being said and what is being done. It's sort of a sad commentary when you have to, as I've done, subscribe to three newspapers that are printed outside of San Diego in order to get the news about the world, the news about the nation, the news about the state, and the news and in-depth reporting about the kind of problems which society faces. I'm talking about the LA Times, the Christian Science Monitor, and the Wall Street Journal, if you please. And it's, those papers are doing things and saying things in depth that we can't get in our local press. If more people in San Diego subscribe to the Times, we might get more coverage in the Times and then more news in San Diego about what's going on and not going on in San Diego.
Well, I'm going to the Times, but maybe we should let them know.
We should do that with the Times. And when something is said, about a subject matter, if you ever say things in the alternative, you know which alternative is going to be printed. I remember this happens to me all the time, and I'm learning more and more to try to not say things in the alternative, because I gave a talk once upon Law and Order. And one of the things I said in the talk was that violence could not be tolerated in a free society because it meant anarchy if you allowed violence to continue to hold sway. But then I went on to say that those who deny justice to others have no right to demand order in this constitutional society. I came out as a messiah for law and order as it came up in the paper, where the whole context of what I said was just the opposite. We might get a syndicated column written by somebody who talks about black problems, but you can be damn sure what it's going to be. It isn't going to be the kind that is gutty or gets at the problem as it really is. That again would be highly selective. And then on this business of inefficiency, let's face it, inefficiency is not the answer. Yeah. Inefficiency is the excuse for the failure of an agency of this government to adopt proper priorities. And they can hide behind inefficiency and say that somebody is inefficient. The hell they were. Somebody wasn't as sufficiently concerned about this to see that it was done and done when it should be done. And that's part of the racist establishment and the racist mentality.
Rosemary?
Yes, well, I think we talk about specifics. Some who can't get reporters, some who can't get the news. I think we have to, as Tom Johnson always does, and since he isn't here, I think I'd like to...
Tom Johnson, yes.
We have to go back and ask the question, why? And the answer to that can only be because we really haven't wanted to do it. Now, if General Kulak says he wants black reporters, says he wants his people to be sensitive, I think that we could guarantee him, just as a result of collective efforts of people, the dialogue, the CIC, or community people, if he lays out this what he wants to do, we can guarantee him he can do it. He has to decide if he wants to do it. Channel 8, Channel 10, have to decide what they want to do. Right now, what they want to do is being interpreted in the community as not very much. Last week, the last time I said I thought the issue should be raised, I see, and it was an excellent job of reporting on KFMB radio, when they discussed John Hadle's salary and the conditions by which John was not signing and under conditions in which he might. This was excellent. They said that on this side he was offered this, and another said, but then you have to look at it from management side, and then he said, but look at it now from Hadle's side. This was excellent. Do that with minority news and issues. In this city, the majority of the white population does not even know what black power is. We haven't even done anything in depth on that. We conduct public education programs throughout the city. The constant comment of white people, since these are people taking programs, are usually, why didn't I know this? I never even had the idea that black power could mean this, a positive connotation. Of course not, because our whole commitment is to keep it from being interpreted that way. And I think we must be honest with ourselves. And we have to ask the question, why was the only time the ghetto scene in San Diego was covered in depth, why did that happen to have to come from the Christian Science Monitor rather than ever from any form of the news media in San Diego? And I think that all these specifics we talk about are simply wondering about how to make the icing and you have no cake to put it on. I think you've got to get down and ask the question, do you want to? Right now, the answer, I think, would be no.
No, Rosemary, I think you're really wrong.
I think it would be no.
Okay,
so
wait a minute now. I think something really significant happened here this morning, and I hope it's not overlooked by this group. And that is the fact that General Victor Kulak was here. That's never happened before in 2 years. I don't care if he walked out. He was here, and it hasn't happened before in more than 2 years. And I just hope that the significance of that doesn't escape this group. He said, in effect, here's my hand, and I think this group has to take it upon itself now, probably through CIC, to say, I call you.
Yes,
he left his phone number, call his hand. And I think that's really an important step that hasn't ever been made in over 2 years in this room.
Well, I have to say,
Ian,
that I agree with that.
But don't let it get away.
That Ray is here and that Clayton's here last week. And that kind of...
Now, wait a minute. We've said before at this table today that the electronic media has shown some significant leadership in this area, in this town. We then said, but what has the metropolitan daily print media been doing? And the general was here. I'm just saying, don't let that get by.
Right. You don't agree with her other observations just on that point. You want
no.
to be sure.
She said in her opinion, she thinks the answer, are you ready?
Oh.
The answer to that is no, and I don't agree with that. I think the answer to that is yes, we're ready, but now somebody's got to come and tell us.
I didn't mean, are you ready? I mean, maybe now we are ready. But if we have to look, and I think from the suggestion of most of the minority communities, up to this point, there isn't much they really can look at for commitment.
and this I am excluding certain things like the little outline papers, and I exclude Channel 15 because I
don't even get it.
But I
have to do television.
We have to recognize that we can't expect the press editorially to agree with what positions we might take. And if we're seeking agreement and commitment in that sense, we ought to forget it. But what ought to be expected is the right to have positions stated freely and openly by other segments of the community. And if General Krulak is prepared to see that the local press will effectively do that, we will have accomplished something.
And he's at the right level in the organization to do it.
Yeah, we've had so many slips that pass in the night. You can go through and read beautiful statements that have been made by leaders of this nation and the press over the last decade, and
how the names of General Krulak and the Boy Scout President, Mr. Copley, are being used here. I'd like to mention the specific on this. What is UCFD calling that program? You know, Johnny?
Ghetto Radio.
This, and Dave Crippen has been helping to set this up. I think it's a proposal that ought to be at least examined and probably supported, and someone ought to perhaps try to get these groups together and possibly feed it back into the dialogue.
All right. I saw her in the back, and no, Glenn.
I wonder if we are not targeting our vacuum to a large extent right now.
Yeah.
Our conversation has gotten around to the point where we are essentially criticizing the San Diego Union Tribune. We're saying it was great to know through lack of care. And someplace along the line it will probably be reported that he lost that. I wonder if it will also be reported that he left halfway through. We've got people from the various news stations here. I wonder if they're going to report that another news media was the subject of controversy and discussion on attack today. Or if they're going to adopt a policy of let's not criticize our fellow news media. But we're really talking about, we have gotten around to where we are talking about the problems with the local press. And I realize that the reporter here, but the man who was our guest, man, position of power has left.
Well, let's not overdo that. I think that, you can write significance into anything. What's the significance of the fact that the meeting had been going on for an hour and a half before I got here? You know, was I trying to avoid something because I had another business commitment that made it impossible for me to get here until 11 o'clock? It's
you
possible that
agenda,
General...
Judge, you were not on the agenda. You didn't think I was on the agenda. They would have known they received this agenda well enough in advance so that they could have planned to have a person here for the full length of time.
But we are planning the entire schedule of his time. He planned enough of his time to come here and get the substance of what was being discussed, maybe not everything that was being said. I think we can overdo our critical approach. He was here for an hour and a half.
I suggest that we take some of this stuff and hope their quotas and make them live up to them. George, I mean, Jackson,
how you can get that?
Just some of them are telling me that's more important than knocking how you could be better.
I think it's fair. In response to my earlier question to General Krulak, he did think just privately of leaving that he's interested very much in the suggestion of contacting basically Negro colleges for recruitment purposes of future journalists. And he did say emphatically that on tomorrow contact will be made with Negro colleges to contact your man.
You give him my alma mater.
And you might want to follow
him. All right, so Mayor, about two more comments, and then we...
I think I can tell you other members by calling the press media or whatever to work with channels so that I can come up with a definite recommendation to
report. A lot of merit in
nobody cares.
I want to make sure again that because you were here and did make this commitment that we make sure we don't let it slip by forming the subcommittee or whatever.
Okay, someone ask a question on that?
Let it slip, all right?
We won't let that slip.
Don's question was never answered anyway. But I'd like to know who does the follow-up when black
Middle East?
Something happens in the black area. Yeah, I know that you print it up big. You know, black did this, black did that. But who follows this up as far as the news media, TV, and et cetera? While I was in Chicago, I noticed that even though black does something in the black ghetto, they at least followed up by putting the people on television, in the news, beside the last article they put that a black man shot a white man. Why did he shoot him? They don't, you know, because I know that San Diego doesn't print this. And I don't even read the papers anyway in San Diego. But I noticed that the news media, the TVs, they don't have nothing black on television. They don't have no type of black discussions on television. They don't ask us what is happening in our area. They take for granted that they know what's happening in our area. All the stuff that the other channels bring on is from Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, all back there. There hasn't been one black militant or one black anything on television to explain what they are actually doing in their community on any television in San Diego. All this is coming from
KBS.
Well, I don't look at television that much as far as
you're talking about. Hey, I'm talking about
it. They call the police 45 minutes ago, and the police thought it was a whole bunch of black people being beat up, and they still didn't pick the cat up in time, and he died. So they turned up, six guys killed, 40. They still haven't caught the right people, but nobody follows this up. I want to know who follows up the incidents that occur in black areas.
Mike Schaefer, the city councilman, is here. Mike, your hand is up.
I just wanted to comment. Channel 15 has had some good programs, but tonight they're having the second last rerun, I guess.
Mike, everybody don't have a television
yet. Leon Williams, today in San Diego, is tonight at 7, but I asked Channel 10, I guess it was, to think about maybe having a dialogue deal, like, you know, our discussion now could be a half-hour show or an hour show sometime, maybe, you know, at a time that wasn't prime time, maybe it could be sponsored, maybe it wouldn't be sponsored. I'd like to see 8 or 10 have a sort of a dialogue coffee plus group. I was down in New Orleans at a convention in December, and I watched TV for an hour or so and saw some little dialogues going on the major channels, not the UHF channels. And I'd like to see a major channel have, maybe there is something I haven't caught, but I think the dialogues like we're having now are great. When I was a young kid, they had something called Pro and Con that was on Channel 8 that I used to watch for an hour at a time, where they'd have about a dozen citizens sit around and chew the fat on something. And I think something of this nature, from an interracial point of view, would be healthy for the community on something other than 15.
This is what Channel 10 would do, as it did before. You remember the major, there was the major program on national program. Then they had a local panel to discuss it afterwards. They had to be careful to select the right people, apparently. It was the most innocuous, irrelevant, stupid panel discussion of what had gone on television before that I ever saw. And that was on Channel 10. I mean that. While it was still on, I couldn't stand it. I called Channel 10 and I said, how could you miss the point so much? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they picked people like Mayor Kern and a few others to talk about what's going on. If he knew what was in that program, he wouldn't have the problems in San Diego he already has.
You organize the show and I'll go out and raise a sponsor.
I'm not organizing anything.
I was saying is the newspapers and the news and the TVs, they never print the good things that the black people are doing in their own area. They wait until something bad happens and then they put that in there.
and all you're doing is feeding these white people full of shit. You know, that's all you're doing. They want to know what's really happening with black folks. They're not interested in what's bad. They know what's bad. You guys are the bad ones.
Yeah. John?
Carol, my question is never answered, but I am going to assume that after some of the discussion that went around here this morning, that we have reached some of the news media, and they might be thinking about there might be some inadequacy there in the coverage there, and rather than let them go away, that so we can do this further, that I would like to suggest that a committee there be formed so that we can try, if in the event that there are some impartial coverage there, that we might can work out a method there where we can solve it there, not only with the with the general that was here, but also with the other news media, whereby that we can present there maybe a program and solve it.
Let's take it up then, so we can plow through this. Huh? Mary said she didn't think that we could let that General Kulak's specific offer slip. Let's extend it. We have a committee that reported today that we have a report here. I want to not disband that committee. May I give you another assignment? Would you take it back to Tom McJohnson, please, and let him know he has another assignment? The assignment is to call on General Kulak yesterday.
Clayton Braves.
And Clayton Braves, George Whitney, and the others. And follow through on some of those specific things that were mentioned today. The specific one that General Kulak mentioned should not be allowed to slip. And some of the others. The committee, in other words, is a call on them, like yesterday, and follow through on those specifics. Now, I want to try to spell out to those who might not have been here and so forth all these specifics. We have them down and we can list them. We know three or four that the general mentioned. Two or three of the others that were mentioned by Brad, for example, and one or two others about maybe they should then look at training for reporters, etc. They were sold out. The assignment is the discontinuation of that committee to do the same thing and make a report the next time on what they found. You had the last comment, then I want to... Oh, George?
Well, I'd like to follow up Mike's suggestion. I think it's a very wholesome one. I would like very much if Mike could pursue that the police department members who work in Southeast San Diego could be exposed to a dialogue with those black persons who they continually harass, so that their attitudes may be exposed as to why. I'm not talking about the community relations department. I'm not talking about the chief. The people who need to be here at these dialogues and who need to be at design for understanding are not there. And that is the police officers who continually work in Logan Heights, who I believe and I'm sure of, they were not sensitive to the problems of the people in that area. They must be exposed in some direct manner. I would like to call upon the news media and the city of San Diego to make sure that these people can become exposed to the attitudes of black people or take some steps to get them out of the black community before they get hurt.
Carol, Brad, can I react to that? No, you may not, Don. Brad?
There's a chance to get things off your chest.
Okay.
Every set that's been purchased since 1963 is capable of getting you a chest. We can come along. We can't buy the sets for you or show you how to use them and help us, will you?
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Now, Don, you may give us your reaction.
Oh. Well, according to George, we are apparently doing nothing in this line, but I would like to bring to the attention of the dialogue some things that we are doing. We are attending the Design for Understanding, and not on the patrolman level, George, but on the lieutenant and sergeant level.
But you don't work the beat in Logan Heights.
No, wait a minute. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about other field lieutenants and sergeants. Tomorrow, there's a Mexican-American People's Conference to which myself and Officer Jarvis and five field lieutenants, these are men actually commanding in the field, will be attending for the very purpose you're suggesting. We are doing this. We're going to continue to do it and we'll probably do more of it as soon as it becomes available.
With the recruits. I mean, with the people who are the officers, not echelon, officers.
We have to start with the field commander, George, and then it works down to the uniform man.
I'm sorry, that 3 years ago was Colin.
It's getting down there,
folks. Oh, we got a big force. I'm sorry. Okay, go through
it. All right, there are several things I want to tie in, and I'm afraid they're going to get lost, so if you'll stay just a minute or two, I'll try to give this some kind of direction.
Carol, I have to say one more point.
This damn time is bugging and jarring me. Everybody's asking a black man to be patient with a white man until he changes his racist mind. Now, when the hell are you cats going to be patient with a black man, yourself, and change? You ask us to be patient with you until you can make change. You continue to ask, be patient with the white man. Take it, you know, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Don't ask me to be patient with you no more if you're not going to be patient with me.
Any other comments there, Don? No? Okay. Three or four things that came up this morning, and I don't think we, I expressed my concern about the dialogue earlier. So we won't cover all of that, but I think two or three things were mentioned that were not brought out, and one relates to what George just said. John over here mentioned that every reporter has radio, got all the beans in there. Follows the news reporters, follows the news, police, the court, the whole bit. It's not covered, and all the things going on in the city are not covered. Though we didn't get down to what I thought we would get down to today, and I understand why. I agree with Jim's perception. The rest of us understand why. That after 2 years of talking about it at different times, blacks, for example, not as many blacks here are usually here, for example, not as many browns that are usually here. There's a reason why, and it all relates to the same thing as Jim mentioned. I think that ought to concern us. We ought to know what's going on. The reporters ought to become more sensitive. I want to, though, punch something else. I want to suggest that the other side of the coin we still do not pick up on enough. I don't think, as was pointed out, until the blacks and the browns decide they're going to change some of these things, and some of these, as Dave pointed out, exercises, whatever you want to call them, I don't think we can follow up successfully unless black and brown groups begin to call on them and put some pressure on them, plain and simple. And I think if we continue to come here and blacks and browns don't begin to go out there and put the pressure on them, and whichever way you decide, not me, I think we're going to still be dialoguing 4 years from now and nothing's going to happen. What I'm trying to say is there's two sides. The blacks and the browns are going to have to take that other side and put the pressure on them in the most nuisance way for that matter and bring about the changes that we keep talking about. That bothers me that we didn't get into that this morning. It bothers me we didn't really get down to discussing some of the hard things that we've been discussing here. I'll agree with Jim that it gets to be repetitious and useless after a while to keep talking about. The other is we have three or four announcements before the very final item. Three or four announcements that, did you get them around, Brad?
Not everybody. I have three press releases on three shows that might be worthwhile for any of you who can find your way to UHN.
And we have another announcement at Freedom Rally. Did all of you get one of these? Most of you did? Okay, then that's tomorrow. Let's talk about Urban League. I think we should look at it. And a 10. Can we come in on the Sentinel article? There's a Sentinel series of Sentinel articles, right, John, coming out?
I didn't get one.
Every Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday?
Every Thursday. The first two have been drawn from this dialogue. And it would be helpful if anyone who reads them could support Mr. McKinnon.
Let's see what this one says here. There's another article series going on. Fact two, not the same. Racism Can Be Subtle, by John Wood. This is second one, John. The other is a series of articles being done by a Sentinel reporter, and Don, this is bad, but it's on the police situation that you know about so well in Linda Vista. Again, I think the Metropolitan newspapers may pick up on this because the article, the Sentinel, is covering it as a small paper in terms of what's going on with police and youth in Linda Vista. It ought to be coverage around this whole county on what's going on. Finally, from me, Julian Wise is making his last appearance as the official director of the Community Relations Division today. You had a lot of people leave the city. Last week was Ed Butler. This week is Julian Wise. Julian hasn't attended all of them, but he's attended most of them. And I think he should pay tribute also to Julian for the job he's done. He's attended, he's made many contributions, and he's been under attack many times. He's taken it well, but I think we need to pay tribute to Julian Wise, and at that time their feeling used to be with him. She's no longer with him directly, correct? But he's leaving. We would like to thank you for your participation and your contribution to this time. Are you going to stay out in the city or are you leaving town? Can't stay at this time, all right.
No, I'll be able to stay in about a week from today. We should have an announcement.
And how long are you going to be on the site before you leave permanently from the site?
Until the end of this month.
To the end of February, you'll be in the building. I think those of us who work with Julian and so forth so well over the years ought to come down at least and see Julian before he leaves.
Send him a Valentine.
Yeah.
Is there anything newsworthy?
Somebody needs to open up
the reason for these people in these high positions leaving this city government.
Something wrong.
You
know, he's being replaced by a black man.
You know he's being replaced by black?
No.
Ray Blair is not black. Ray is black.
Last night's paper.
The communications people are all invited, I'm sure, to the Huey Newton birthday party at 2 p.m. at 6 in Juniper Sunday afternoon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one point's already a good point, was Rosemary just asked. And it really reflects back on Walter Hunt, the manager. You see, if he had been present at these dialogues instead of Julian Wise or this other cat who Wilhelm who comes down here, perhaps he would have been more sensitive and possibly more considerate before he automatically appointed a white man. He might have thought about appointing a black man. This city must still realize that there is no black man within the city structure standard of significance important in the decision-making body of our city, except the one who was recently appointed, which is the general of the city, which is Leon Williams, the council. But the administrative of this particular city and its entire function has no relative black man on the actual staff here. And this has came up before, and each time it's played down.
Brown,
and it becomes a humorous thing. There's no black nor brown. And it becomes humorous that each time it's mentioned, no, it wasn't black, ha ha, you know, chicken deal. But right, these guys, this points to apply people in the top positions who are not here, do not become sensitive to the needs within the various departments, and therefore do not know what the people are talking about when we come to a point of sensitivity. If this is going to be a bunch of guys, man, for cats to come here and chuck and jive about something and no effective change comes as a result of it, it doesn't really matter what I sensitize you or not if you're not going to take any action as a result of being sensitized. It doesn't matter how sensitive you are and how liberal you are. If you're not going to stop any racist attitudes, racist actions that's happening, it doesn't do any good for you to be sensitive.
Yeah, look, somebody called.
Well, no, I was just going to say, Carolyn, I appreciate your comments, and I did want to say that during the 8 years that I've been with the city, I really personally consider these dialogues to be one of the most important experiences since I've been with the city. And what I'm going to be doing in the future, I think these meetings and our relationships with CIC are going to be very important to me. So, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Julian, and we've enjoyed the relationship with you, and we look forward when you get out of this.
No, I have not enjoyed the relationship with Julian.
Because he hadn't learned anything from these dialogues, he wouldn't have rejected a black man to be his assistant in appointing some cat on the damn ship. And your colleague should see to it that he gets that message.
The first time he's not here, I'll personally go to him and say why not.
No, before he's here, somebody back here.
Now he's going to be in the middle of what he's here now.
I will see you in a week.